reading to you from the 116th Psalm in the first verse. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Wherefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 45 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. I've got an unusual message tonight because I want you to listen, and I hope it'll bless you and let you know what is happening in our prison system and what we have learned. The quartet, my wife and I, as we go, have been going in there for the past 14 years. Well, listen, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. I just wish you'd kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or a hot coffee, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me in prayer at this time? Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you, dear Lord, for these two inmates. Precious Lord, I do pray that you'll intervene and help them. And Lord, that rescue mission I called back in Milwaukee this last week, that some good pastor will go from there to visit these men. Now, dear Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to give us souls for our hire. And I know, Lord, without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. So we're praying that you'll anoint us. I pray, Lord, for the message tonight that'll touch lives and help our people to see that there's more to this prison ministry than just going in there one dime and preaching and going out. Lord, you do know all the needs of our listening family, whether it be physical, financial, or spiritual. I pray you'll provide their needs, and I pray you'll provide the needs of this ministry. Lift up Jesus, honor your word, hide me behind the cross. And Lord, save that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's on the road to hell tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 John, the 5th chapter, and with the 11th verse. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now I've entitled this message, Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, oh what a foretaste of glory divine. Fanny Crosby, who became blind at 6 weeks old, wrote these words to this song. She wrote many, many songs, and every song had a word of encouragement, or it spoke about was blind but she could see. See, blindness never seemed to bother her. She taught school and then end up marrying a blind person. What is so intriguing about the song Blessed Assurance? It speaks about a subject that everyone in this world wants to know, even they don't even know it. Well, for the past few years, I've visited and ministered in several mental institutions. And friends, you might be surprised that many of these people in those places are religious. You see, friends, religion does not necessarily give you assurance. Salvation does, but religion does not. Now, a lot of these people in prison, were religious, but they'd never accepted Christ as Savior. You know the story about Nicodemus. Now, there was nothing much, you couldn't get much better than he was, and yet he was lost. And when he went to Jesus, Jesus told him what he had to do. He said, you must be born again. And from there on, Nicodemus found out that his goodness was not enough to get him into heaven. Some of you listening tonight might feel that you're good enough to get into heaven by your own merits. My friends, it won't happen. The other day, the quartet, my wife and I, was ministering in the Jefferson County Prison. We held a service at 3 o'clock, and then we held a service at 4. There were only 3 men showed up at the service at 3 o'clock. Jeanette could not sing. She had had that terrible virus that took away her singing voice. So I sang with the quartet, and the song was Born Again. Oh, friends, if there's ever a song I like, that's it, Born Again. I started to speak, and a young Indian boy held up his hand, interrupted me, and he challenged what I had said about Jesus loving people and caring for people. You know, friends, immediately my heart went out to that young man. When these 3 men came in, my wife said, this young Indian boy is terribly troubled, and she was right. After the service was over and I gave the invitation, all 3 of these men prayed to receive Christ. The Indian boy and the other man cried through the whole service. I mean, they cried. After they left, the quartet minus Ray and Jeannie, who had to go on home, we went down to Wendy's and had some coffee, and we discussed that troubled Indian boy. And we all agreed that I should go back down the next day and pay this young man a visit. Well, so I went to the prison the next day to see him. His name is Crow, Donovan Crow. They put us in a private locked room, and he said, I never expected to see you again. I took him in a new Thompson Chain study Bible, the book Go Mo Go, and the book I wrote, Hey James, One More Story. He cried a lot as he told me the story of his life. He had been in prison since he was 12 years old. He was a gangbanger. Now, mind you, he's only been out of prison 4 months since the time he was 12 years old. He was a gangbanger. He smoked pot. He had a bad attitude about life. Now he faces charges of 2 homicides, bank robbery, and something else. He tells me he is innocent, and I want you to know I've heard this millions of times since I started preaching in prison 40 years ago. But friends, I do believe this young man. He assured me that he meant business when he prayed to receive Christ as service. But he also told me he had a 20-year-old friend who was a Mexican boy who was with him when they picked him up in here. Now, mind you, both of them are now charged with double homicide and armed bank robbery. Well, I had a word of prayer with him, and then I left. As I was driving home from the prison, I felt compelled to go back the next day and meet with this young Mexican boy as well as the Indian boy. I decided I should also see Donovan Crow again. When they brought Donovan in, he was smiling all over. He said, I don't know why I'm so happy today. I smiled and told him God had given him an assurance that he had never had before, and he agreed. Then he said, Cecil, I read those books. Boy, were they interesting. And then he said, you were a roofing contractor? And I said, yes. He said, you know what? My brother had a roofing business, and he, too, was an alcoholic, and he, too, lost his home and his business. I said, well, that's normal for an alcoholic. Well, man, I got his address, and I've tried to contact him, and maybe perhaps I can lead him to Christ. Then Donovan said something that really touched my heart. He said, if they were going to send Alex, because he was assessor of the fact, that he was going to admit that he did the crime. I said, don't you dare to confess a crime you didn't commit. Well, we had a word of prayer. He left me. Then the sheriff brought in Alex. I told him I was a friend of Donovan Crowe. He said, yes, he is a real dear friend. I said, you want to know something else? Sunday night, Donovan accepted Christ as his personal Savior. He said, really? So now I started sharing my testimony with Alex. I also took him up a Go Mogul book. As I was sharing with him, he said, Cecil, you know, the other day a man in the cell next to mine started telling me about Jesus. And he said, anytime you want to talk about the Bible, ask questions, I'll come share with you. I handed Alex a little Gideon Bible. They're one of the neatest soul-winning tools you'll ever get. And I handed it to him. And I said, now, Alex, if you turn to the back page where it'll give God's plan of salvation. He stopped me and he started to cry. He said, Cecil, what prayer do I have to pray to receive Jesus Christ? So I led him in a sinner's prayer. I said, Alex, did you really mean that prayer? And he said, it broke down and he cried again for it seemed like 5 minutes. Then he wiped his eyes and he looked up and gave me an angelic smile. Friends, the angels were certainly rejoicing around the throne of grace that day. I told him that Donovan was going to plead guilty to these crimes so this young man could go free. Then he started crying again. He said, would he do that for me? I said, yes, but I said, look what Jesus did for the three of us. He gave his precious young life that we could live. Donovan said, Cecil, I've never cried before anyone in my life until you introduced me to Christ. I said, Donovan, the morning I was saved, I cried like a baby. The Bible tells us where much is forgiven, much is loved of thee. We who know Jesus can sing that song, Blessed Assurance, with a joy because we know that what Jesus has done for us. Now, friends, many of you that really know me, that I use my testimony a lot in prison. Reason being, most of the men and women who has experienced that life that I lived. I was beaten and abused my stepmother. I was orphaned when I was 17. Many of these men and women came from a divorced family. Many were raised by their grandmothers. Some of them, their dads were alcoholics or their mother was alcoholic. And they started running with the wrong crowd, and soon they were in trouble and ended up in jail. Listen to this, folks. 85% of the men and women in prison has done that crime while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Most of the inmates are bitter. They know that they've done something wrong, or they would not be in prison. Now, when someone like me comes into prison and shares a testimony, these men can relate. And if an invitation is given, God's Holy Spirit convicts them, and many trust Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I tell you, folks, this is a proven fact, that when these men and women leave prison, and if they are unsaved, 85% will return. So I give them these stats and I tell them, if they reject Christ, and when you leave prison, we expect to see you back. Yes, that's called tough love, but they need to hear it from the horse's mouth. Now, those of you who listen to my broadcast for the past 28 years, no doubt, have heard me talk about my Indian friend, Joe Hoskins. Joe had spent 4 years in reform school, where he lost his right arm in an accident in the laundry. When he got out of reform school, he got married and he committed another crime, and he was sent to state prison for 7 to 8 years. Well, when he got out, they sent him to the rescue mission in Bellingham, Washington, where I had just been hired to be the truck driver. Joe was born at the Lummi Island Indian Reservation, just out of Bellingham. Joe had a terrible bad attitude, and it would not have been long that Joe would have returned to prison. He hated God. He hated preachers. Joe was a Catholic, and as a young boy, he was an altar boy. There's where he learned to drink the wine that the priest used, and he ended up an alcoholic. Friends, I don't care what you say. Call me whatever you want, but I do not think that a church is a place for alcohol of any sort. I know churches that use real booze in the Lord's Supper. I can't imagine someone doing that. Well, that's beside the point. This Joe Hoskin had whipped every cop in Bellingham, Washington. And he'd whipped everybody in and stayed in the rescue mission. And he told me if I preached at him, he would whip me. And I loved old Joe, and I carefully and prayerfully started witnessing to him. He told me, "Don't you ever invite me to your church." I was also an associate pastor of a church in Bellingham. One day, a friend of mine who was an airplane pilot called me and asked me if I'd like to go fly with him over to Friday Harbor. I said, "Sure." Then I asked Joe, "Have you ever been in an airplane?" And he said he hadn't. So I said, "Come over here. We're going to go to fly to Friday Harbor." That's in the San Juan Islands between Bellingham and Vancouver, British Columbia. The air was very, very turbulent, and we were in a four-seat Cessna 172. Joe got scared, and when I looked in the back seat where Joe was, Joe was a very, very brown Indian, but he was as white as a sheet. I said, "Joe, are you scared?" And he replied, "I sure am." And I said, "Absent from the body, present with the Lord." He said, "That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not ready." And I said, "Joe, that's your fault, not mine. I've tried to tell you about Jesus." I invited Joe next week to come to my house for Sunday dinner. He said, "I will, but don't you invite me to come to your church." I said, "Okay." Well, he came over to our house, and my little girl had just learned to sing "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know," and she was rocking back and forth on the dashboard. "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." Just about drove me crazy. Well, the next morning when I went to the rescue mission, Joe met me with a cup of coffee. Well, he said, "You know," he called me Dad, he said, "You know, Dad, I have never been in a Christian's home before." He said, "You know what I saw there? I saw love. You people have something." One night, Joe went out and got terribly drunk. We had to pick up some furniture, and Joe had a terrible hangover. His head was splitting. When we got there where the furniture was, he said, "I'll get it. Stay in the truck." Joe picked up that heavy overstuffed chair and threw it in the truck. He said, "Now don't you say a word, Dad, or I'll knock your block off." A few weeks later, our pastor was gone, so I had to hold both services. That night, we were to show a missionary film, so Joe finally consented to come to the service. Well, him and my pilot friend, Ted Benner, had become friends, so Ted and his wife brought Joe to the service. During the invitation, Joe took Ted by the hand and walked down and threw his arms around my neck, and he was weeping, and he said, "Dad, if you can't beat them, I guess I should join them." Our church had been praying for Joe for many, many months. Oh, friends, the church hugged Joe and made him feel really at home. Joe and I used to be invited to church to share our testimonies. But one day, the Christian Businessmen's Club and called me and invited Joe and I to go to with them on a retreat at Lake Chelan, Washington. Saturday morning, they were all out playing horseshoes, and Joe said, "Dad, can you play horseshoes?" And I said, "Oh, you bet. They don't call me the Ringer King for nothing." Of course, I was kidding. My friends, Joe, started throwing ringer after ringer. I never got a point. And I said, "Joe, where did you learn to play horseshoes?" And he smiled and said, "I was a champ in the Walla Walla State Prison. We beat everyone we played." Well, Saturday after the banquet, Joe and I was invited to the platform to give our testimonies. I introduced Joe and I said, "Men, if you don't mind, I'd like to give the whole meeting to my brother in Christ, Joe Hoskin." Friends, when he got up to speak, there was not a dry eye in that auditorium. As Joe made Jesus so real. Oh, listen. None of these men have ever much as visited a prison. Well, things were going well, and one day I received a phone call from Seattle, from a bar down in the worst part of Seattle, and this bartender said, "Is this Cecil Moe?" And I said, "It is." He said, "Do you know a man by the name of Joe Hoskins?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, he's here, dead drunk in the back room, and he's crying and asking for his good preacher friend, Cecil Moe." I said, "I'd come right down." So I called another alcoholic jailbird who I had introduced to Christ to go with me. Now, when we got to Seattle, we went to the bar, and I do mean it was a rough, tough bar. When we walked in, everybody at the bar started staring at us. I walked up and told the bartender I was Cecil Moe, and he said, "Joe was in the back in the next room sitting at a table with his head on it." I said, "Joe," and he looked up and started to cry, and he said, "Dad, do you hate me?" And I said, "Of course I don't hate you, but Joe, you did a terrible thing, and you know what you're going to have to do." Now listen, the men and the women in that bar wasn't going to let me take Joe with us. The bartender stepped in and said, "This is Joe's best friend." On the way back to Bellingham, I asked Joe, "Why did you come to Seattle?" He said, "I wanted to see my wife and find out where my son was." Now, his ex-wife was now a prostitute, and she wouldn't tell Joe where his son was. So Joe just plain got drunk. He said, "Dad, will God forgive me?" And I said, "Joe, the Bible said if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive all sins." So Joe prayed and asked God to forgive him. Well, shortly after that, my wife and my family were in a terrible car wreck, and so I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. Joe had come up every day to see me. He said, "I feel like a ship without a rudder. I miss you preaching at me in the truck." A few weeks later, Joe fell from a stairway on the second story of an apartment house, and he was killed. Oh, friends, I tell you, I sure miss old Joe. He was probably one of the neatest Christians that I'd ever met. You see, friends, when a person like Joe or me or these other guys find Christ, we usually turn out to be pretty good soul winners, and because we know what the Lord did for us. No, you don't have to be an alcoholic to be saved or a drug addict, but the Lord will. If you are a drug addict or an alcoholic and you give your heart to Christ and you sell out completely like the Apostle Paul did, I will guarantee you God will show you what he wants for your life. And friends, this I want to tell you. If my family and I were not terribly poor, well, in fact, we were so poor we couldn't pay attention, and I took that job as a truck driver in that mission, I would have never bet Joe Hoskins. So sometimes, my friends, it does pay to be poor. God does things for us. They may sound tough at the time, but believe me, he has a place for you and for me. What happened to Donovan and to Alex and to Joe Hoskins and to Cecil Moe could happen to you if you don't know Jesus. Well, 1 John 5:10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in him, He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his son. Let me, can you sing that song, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine? Well, if you're ready to repent of your sins and receive Christ, you can have that salvation and you can sing that song. Now listen, if you are not ready to die, you are ready to be saved. And you know whether God's Holy Spirit is knocking in your heart tonight? You know it. I don't have to tell you. Then if he is knocking on your heart, he said, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. He wants to take out that old heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He wants to show you that what we've been preaching for years is true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to give you a new life. You say, well, Cecil, I don't know. Well, you do know whether you want to go to heaven or not, don't you? Well, you sure do. Well, anyway, we're going to give you an opportunity tonight to put your trust in Jesus. Now, here's what we're going to have to do. If you believe in your heart, or if you don't know where you're going to go when you die, then it's time to get serious with the Lord, just like Donovan did, just like Alex did and Joe. And here's a simple prayer that changed my life completely. And if you want to pray the sinner's prayer, bow your head to me right now, would you? Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray that you will be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, come into my heart and save me tonight. Help me to be a good Christian. Help me to find a good church where I might get baptized and follow you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, friends, listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. Call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I want to hear from you. No, I won't use your name on the air. No, I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't do that. And friends, I do not care where you go to church, but I am tremendously concerned where you spend eternity. Think about it. He stands right now with outstretched arms, and he says, come unto me, all you have labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He knows your heart's broken tonight. He knows you've had death and problems in your family. He wants to comfort you. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.